Bokertov world. Today's daf in Mesechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. Let's start again from Tet Zayin Omud Beis, and we'll start from Sanhedrin Gedolah Haita. This is the Mishnah where we found a machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, Sanhedrin was 71, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sanhedrin was only 70, Shivim. So what is exactly the basis of the machlokas over here? Whether Moshe Rabbeinu was included in the number of the Sanhedrin when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to be Asfali Shivim Ish, gathered together 70. Is that plus him, or is he just the one who's above them? So my Tamayu Rabbanin, they say that Moshe is Al Gabehem, and therefore they're obviously including him. Where do they see that from? Omar Kross, since the Pusuk that tells Moshe Rabbeinu to collect these chachomim, it says, v'hit yatzvu sham imach, if it says with you, then that means with you, v'at b'hadayu. So we have to add Moshe as the other member of the Sanhedrin, which makes it altogether 71. How does Rabbi Yud explain that Pusuk? It does say imach, and yet he says that Moshe is not included. He says imach over there means that they have to be standing with you there. Because remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you stand there, then I am going to take me ruchacha and put it on them. So that required a transference from Moshe of the Shechina, the ruach of the Shechina, that would be given to all of the others. And according to the Rabbanan, don't they realize that that's what it means? I can't use it to prove that Moshe was part of them. Or Mark Ra, they say you're right, but it also says, v'nasa'u itcha b'masa'am, that they are supposed to also be part of your burden, together with you. You have the burden of the am, they will carry it with you. So that means, with you is exactly what it says, va'at ba'adayu. It means together with you, so that you're going to be part of them. And how does Rabbi Yehuda explain that? He says that word itcha means that they will be people that are domim lecha, that they will also be people that are miuchasim like Moshe, and that have no mumim like Moshe. That's what itcha means, but it doesn't mean they'll be in the same bezden. V'rabbanan, how exactly, if they learn that itcha means that they has to actually be there, how do they know that there's a halacha that Bezdin has to be made of dayanim that are miuchasim and don't have any mumim? That, they say, we learn that from the pasuk that it uses the same lashon, but in Shmos, where over there it was talking about the Sorei Meot and so on. So that was a reference to the, not Bezdin HaGadol, but that was a reference to the Sanhedrin Ketana and below. So there it also says, V'yarkel mi'alecha. So that's coming to tell me that those Sanhedrin have to be like Moshe and Miuchasim. So then certainly we can learn out Sanhedrin Gedela from Sanhedrin Ketana. If the Sanhedrin Ketana is supposed to be like Moshe in terms of Miuchasim and so on, so too does the Sanhedrin Gedela. So we have that extra posik in Yisro. Tanur upon it. In the story of the 70, it says that there were two people, Vayisharu Shnei Anashim B'machana, there were two people that were left behind in the Machana. Now, it doesn't say where exactly. What does it mean they were left behind? How do you leave something behind? So, Yeshomrim, some say it means that Eldad and Medad were left behind, meaning their names were left behind in the box from which all of the various lots were removed. What are these lots? Because, listen, here's the situation. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to get 70 people together. Now, he's got to work it out that these 70 people will be chosen out of Yud Beis Shvatim. There is no way to evenly give every Shevet the same number of Dayanim if you have to fit it into 12. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a pickle. That's how we got to the lot issue. Shebisha'asha, my Lord, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Asfali, Shivim, Ish, Miziknei, Yisrael. So Moshe says to himself, oh gosh, what do I do now? Ketzad Ha'aseh? If I select 6 people from every Shevet, so then there's going to be 72. And 6 times 12. And we've got Shnayim Yetiri. If I only take 5 people from each Shevet, then we end up with 60. And I was told to take 70, and we're going to have 10 less. I can't just go ahead and select Efrosh, Shisha, Mishavet, Zevach, Mishavet, Mishavet, Zeh. I can't, like, arbitrarily on my own das. I'm going to select 5 from some Shvatim, 6 from other Shvatim. That's all I need. Hareni Matil, Kin Ab, Ben HaShvatim. So what should I do? So what he did was, he actually chose Shisha Mikol Shevet. And that way he got 72. He brought these 72 Ptakim that were open to whatever he writes on them. And on 70 of them, he writes the word Zakin, meaning this is a selected Dayan. And on 2 of them, he just left it blank. He put these 72 lots, and that's what we were referring to. He put them into a box, and then he calls the 72 people that he had selected already, and he said to them, okay, now I made my selection. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make his selection. So come along. Bo'u tlu pitakechem from the box. Anybody who picks up a lot that says on it Zakein, then great. Kvar kitshecha shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected you. Nothing else needs to be done. If someone draws a lot that is blank, Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, I chose you. What can I do? If God doesn't want you, what do you want from me? I did the most I can do. You've been put into a very mechubit place. So you were rejected. So what happened? So Rashi says that Eldad and Medad were afraid. So it's very, very interesting. That he says, Eldad and Medad were afraid, shelo ya'alu b'yedeichem a blank. So the parshas of Rashi is that they were afraid that if they're rejected, it's much worse. It's better not to go out, not to be rejected. And in the end, their names remained in the box. That's what it says. The 2 of them were left. I mean, left. That the names that would have been selected by them that said Zakein, those 2 were left in the box, 2 Zakeinim. That was Eldad and Medad, but they hadn't even come out to select it. That's the pashtus of how to read Rashi, which is very problematic because we'll see in a moment there's a different explanation. We'll take a look at this in a moment again. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu actually utilized this way of selecting people when he didn't or wasn't able really to take the responsibility of making the determination. He utilized this idea of picking your name out of a lot. So we had exactly the same problem. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that you should take 5 shkalim for each one of the bechorot. But first, we did a count of all the Levim. There were 22,000 Levim. And the number of Bechorot, firstborns in Yisroel, we also counted. They were 22,000 plus an additional 273. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, you're supposed to take 5 Shkalim for each Bechor that was not exchanged for a Levi. What am I supposed to do now? Ketzedah Selem Yisroel. If I go to somebody and I say, okay, you owe 5 shkalim for pinyon bechoros, he'll say, what do you mean? I'm definitely one of the bechorot that was exchanged for a levy. I'm not going to pay anything. So he had no way of getting anybody to pay. So what did he do? He wrote 22,000 lots, right? And he put on them the word ben levi. And then he added another 273 on which it said, Chamisha Shkalim. Now you go pick your, told all of the Bechorot, go pick your lot. So if somebody comes up with 5 shekel, well, you're going to have to pay 5 shekel. If he comes up with a Ben Levi, it means that he was put with a Ben Levi. Bilalanu de Tanam Bekalpi, Amalem, come along, Tzlupi Kichem, pick out your lot. Mishalabi Yado Ben Levi, he said, oh, wonderful. You are padui kvar padacha through a ben levi, but mishal abi adocha meshe shikolim. Well, listen, it's not up to me, you know. Teit pineotcha vitse, it's only fair. You pay your 5 shkalim and go. Now, getting back to what was meant by the two people that were left behind where? Says Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't mean they were left behind in the box, that their names were left behind. It means that they stayed behind. They were originally selected by Moshe Rabbeinu. So B'Shah Shamar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Asfali Shivim Ish, and Moshe put out his list of 72 people. So Eldad Umeidad said, Ein Anu Ru'uyin Lo Otar Gedula, we are certainly not on a madrega that we should be two of the Shivim Zakenim. We can't do that. No, we decide we're going to stay behind. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dafka, because you stayed behind. Because you acted with anava, I'm going to even add more gedula to your gedula. Ma gedula osif lehem? Shanaviim kula nitnabu pasku. We find that all of the 70, besides Eldad Umeidad, they actually were given that ruach of Nevias, and they were zeichet to Nevias at that moment, because the ruach that was on Moshe went on them, and they were able to be misnabe. So they were all misnabe. But the 70, besides Eldad Umeidad, they were only misnabe for the time that the ruach was chal aleihem to make them the dayanim. But Eldad Umeidad, they remained, and they continued to be mitnabe in the machane. So Anavim kulam nitnabu v'pasku, v'heim nitnabu v'lo pasku. So now the question is very disturbing, that Rashi seems very arbitrarily to learn according to the... Remember, we have two approaches over here. So our first approach was that they were nishtairo, meaning in the box. That was the yesh aimrim. And then we have Rabbi Shimon's approach that no, they remained behind, personally behind, they remained in the machane. I mean, why does Rashi make it that they were unwilling to go and to see that whether they were selected because they were afraid they wouldn't be selected? I mean, what would be wrong to say the same thing? I mean, there's two issues. Was it in the box or was it in the machane? Okay, but I mean, to say that one is because they were anovim, they didn't feel that they were ruyim, but the other is because they were afraid they wouldn't be selected. It just seems to me very arbitrary to say that it's because they were afraid. I mean, maybe they didn't want to be selected because they felt that it wasn't right, that they're not ruyim, and then there should be others that are selected better. No, I'm telling you, I was spoiled to find I forgot the name of the person, a lovely fellow. They call him the Yosef Das, but I forgot. He lives in Harnov. You remember who it is, Barnea? No? I forgot who it is. Very nice person who used to put out these little pamphlets every week. So anyway, so he says it's such a beautiful shot that what Rashi means is they were afraid Shelo yalu biyadam a blank, right? That means they were afraid that they wouldn't get a blank. And if they wouldn't get a blank and they would get a zaken, then two other people were going to be left out, that they were going to be gerim to leave out those people. So they were afraid they wouldn't get a blank. That's the pshat. Not they didn't go out because they were afraid that they shouldn't get a blank. It's very sweet pshat, right? So that adarav, it's like even more beautiful madriga. It wasn't just that they were cheshish, that they're not roi, but that they didn't want to take the place of someone else. Lamaisa, the pashtas of Rashi, is not that way. But I mean, the only basis that I think you could say what would make Rashi say that is the fact that we don't have the end about Hareni Mosiv Gedulal Gedulatchem said according to the first pshat. But if you learn it like this, then the Hareni Mosif would be going on both pshatim, which is even more beautiful. Because Lamaisa, according to the original pshat, it doesn't say. Why does it say that they continued to be misnabi b'machana? Doesn't give any reason. Only Rabbi Shimon is giving the reason. Like this, it works out that piece, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said according to both pshatim, Hareni Mosif Gedulal Gedulatchem. So whether it was because you didn't even come out, or whether because you were chashish, not to take the covet away from someone else. So you want to take the covet away? I'm going to be most of you more covet. And I think it's very, very nice. Really beautiful. Anyway, okay. So, moving on. What exactly did they say when it says, they were sitting there being misnabe b'machane. So what was it that they said? Umanavu and nitnabu. It's like very opaque. Ah, what they were saying was, Moshe mate, the Yoshua machnis et Yisrael la'aretz. So that explains why it is that Yoshua went wild. Get out of here, shut them up. He runs to Moshe to, you know, turn these guys off right away. Claim. So, because apparently, now that's the Lashlam B'machana, in the sense that they were talking about the Machana, and who was going to be heading the Machana. Abba Chanin Omar, Mishum Rebbe Eliezer, they were Al Iske Slave Mitnabim. Remember that this was right by the Bais of the Slav, where everybody was asking for meat. And they were being misnabe that the Slav was going to be coming, and they were saying, Ali Slav, Ali Slav, and the Slav appeared at that point. Wow. Why that? Because there it says also Machana, right? Shador HaPlea Machana. So there's also a remez in Machana. Reb Nachman Omar, Al Iske Gogu Mogogo Yumisnabi. They were talking about the big Machana of Gogu Mogog that was going to be coming against Yisroel B'Achris HaYomi. Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. Ha'atau hu asher dibarti b'yamim kadmonim b'yad avadai nevi'ei Yisrael ha'nivim b'yamim ahem shanim la'vi otcha aleyem. These, as it says in Yecheskel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Gog. Are you the one that I had spoken about to the Nevi'im in those ancient days? For years about you. And now you're finally arrived. Al tikre shanim. Not years, but shnayim, referring to the two Nevi'im that were in the snap of Machana, which was Eldad Umeidad, which is very sweet. Okay, so Ezraim shnayim Nevi'im shetiknabu peperek echad nevu'a echad. The only time we find such a thing that there were shnayim. Misnabim b'machana havi omer Eldad Umeidad. Anyway, getting back to that price, Rabbi Shimon said, Kol ha'nevi'im kulam nitnabu upasku. Ve'im nitnabu v'lo pasku. Where do we see that? Minolon de Pascu, how do we know that the others of the Shivim, besides Eldad Umeidad, that they were misnabe, but that they stopped? I mean, is it because it says in the Pasuk, Vayitnabu v'lo yasafu? And you understand lo yasafu means they weren't mosif, and there was no additional nevius? Is that what you think it means? So when it says, by Kabbalah Satera, Kol gadol v'lo yasaf, what do you think that means? That the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice did not continue. It ran out. Obviously not. Lo yasaf means lo pasak. It never stopped. That's the point. We have the same, of course, the question of lo yasif l'data, l'gabi Yehuda in the Parsha, right? It doesn't mean he never slept with her again. Or did it mean once he took her that he continued to keep her as a wife? So here it means lo pasak. So what makes you think that by the Zekanim, the Shivim Zekanim, it means that they stopped. Maybe just the opposite. It means they did not end. Not that they did not continue. Ella, you know where it's from. Because it says over here to the Zekanim, Vayit Nabu. Vayit Nabu is Lashon Avar, in the past. But She'en came when it's talking about Eldad Umeidad, it's quite clear that the problem is that Yoshua comes along and he's saying, they are mitnabim, they're still giving nevias. So in other words, the whole issue was that they were being mitnabe while the others had been mitnabe, but were no longer mitnabe. Adayim mitnabim v'holchim. So it's obvious from the way that the Lashon is, that they were a very different situation than the other Shivim. Okay, so now we've got these three pshatim. So if we understand, like the way we said initially, the Bishlam Lamandi Omer that he was saying the Machana, that Yoshua is going to be in charge of the Machana. That explains why Yoshua was so upset. Hainu dechtiv Adoni Moshe kelaim. Stop them. But according to Lamandi Omer, that they said Ali Slav, I mean, like, what's so bad about that? Or if they were talking about Achris Hayomim and they were talking about Gogu Mogog, I mean, what is Yoshua panicking about? What's so bad about that? My Adoni Moshe kelaim. Answers the Gemara, and it's not what they said, but it's the fact that they said. He held that it's not derech eretz for people to be misnabe while Moshe is there, and they're going along as if they are, you know, officially recognized Nevi'im in front of Moshe. In the same way that a Talmud who may know the halacha, but is not supposed to say the halacha in front of his Rav, a Navi, and remember, all of the Nevi'im are considered to be the Talmidim Shomayisha, B'nei HaNevi'im. They're all looked at as extensions of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're only believed, as the Rambam explained, they're only believed to be Nevi'im because of the fact that Moshe was mitzaveh to treat these Nevi'im as if they are believable. But it's only based on the actual direct experience that we had of the Nevi'is Moshe on Har Sinai. So they're all mamish like Talmidim b'fnei Rav. So therefore, Yoshua held that it's such a slap in the face, it's not derech eretz. And he wanted it stopped on the spot. Now, Bishlam Laman Diomar Hanachtati, the last two approaches that it means that they were talking about Gog u'Magog, or that they were talking about the Slav that is about to appear. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu answers Yoshua, what's your problem? On the contrary, me, Tein, Shekolam Hashem, Nevi'im, Alvai, they should all be Nevi'im. I'm happy. I'm not in any way insulted that they're Nevi'im. This is what I want to achieve, that all Yisrael were meant to be Nevi'im, and I'm so pleased to see it. But if the whole focus was not about the fact that they were misnabe, but about what they were saying, and Yoshua is coming in a panic to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's saying, these guys are crazy, they're telling people that you're going to die, and I'm going to be the one to bring Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and this has got to stop. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? No, halavai, everybody, we're not talking about halavai. Are you happy that that's what he's saying? Are you telling Yeshua it's a good thing? Let's spread the good news that I'm going to die. I mean, what would be the good news about it? Why is he happy about it? I mean, it's more mashmah than the other pshatim are correct. You're right. But here, lo simua kamet. Yeshua didn't tell Moshe what they were saying. Yoshua told him there's people that are sitting around being misnabim, it's inappropriate. So as far as Moshe was concerned, the Taina always was, even according to the first shot, the Taina always was that it's inappropriate in terms of the kovah to him. And therefore he responded, no, on the contrary, it's wonderful. But Enoch Inami, he didn't realize that it was about the content of the Nevi'is that Yoshua was upset. Okay, anyway, when he said, Moshe, Kla'im, Adonai Moshe, Kla'im, what does that mean, Kla'im? How do you stop people from saying Nevi'is? What are you supposed to do, shoot them? Omar Le, what he was saying is, give them an important position in which they are now responsible for the Tzibur. I guarantee you they will be so miserable within minutes that they will not be able to be misnabe anymore, because you need to be happy. As Tosus explains, and this is a sure way of making them miserable. Make them the mayor of the town. Oh, my God, that'll be the end of all of their happiness forever. So that's all you got to do. Give them a nice position like that. Then Vaim Kalimi Alehem, they will no longer be Nevi'im, I promise you. That's amazing. Okay. Now, the Mishnah explained to us that we need the Besdin is a Sanhedrin Kitana needs to be 23. How did we get 23? So remember, we had the Vitzilo Ha'ida. And the Eda always means 10, because I'm a Taila Eda Ra'azot, and we need the Veshoftua Eda, so that's 20. And we can't have an even Eda, so a Besdin, so we need to have an additional, you would think, an additional one. Says the Mishnah, no, you need an additional 3. Why? Because since we learn from the Pasuk that we cannot follow a simple majority when it comes to capital cases, so lo tiach re'rabim l'ra'ot, you need a majority of 2. But if you need a majority of 2, and you still need 10 that are v'hitzilu, and 10 that are shoftu, then you've got to have actually at least 23, because that's the only way that you can have a majority of two. So minayin lavi ot shlosha, so the Mishnah said, because of the pasuk lo tiachre rabbi mera'ot. So we need another one. And we can't have, we could have two, but then we would have an even number of shoftim. We would have 12 against 10, but that means that the Bezim would only have 22. So since ain based in Shakul, so therefore we need to have 23. But that's very strange, because if that's true, that we need 23, and the point of the Pasuk is that we cannot follow a simple majority, but we do follow Acharei Rabim, we do follow a Rabim of two, that's never going to happen. We can't have a Rabim of two. Sof l'ra'al pishnayim lo mashkachakla. Where could we ever have a majority of two? If you've got 11 that are mezakim and 12 that are mechayvim, so then you would only have a majority of one. That's your 23. But akatichadu, you wouldn't be able to paskin on the basis of that majority of one. If you've got 10 that are vihitzilo ha'eda, and you've got now 13, and they're the one that are the Veshavtu, and they're paskening that he should be killed, but then you've got a majority of three. So where exactly did the Torah tell us to paskin based on a majority of two, according to the way you're learning it? Omer Rabbi Abahu, you're right. The only time that we would find a situation where we have actually a majority of exactly two is in a case where you have one of the judges who cannot reach a decision. So the halacha is that when you have a judge who cannot reach a decision, we add two judges in his place and we retry. And that would mean that in such a case, since we discount the original judge who is unable to arrive at a determination, we will now have an even number. And iatamotze ela b'mosifim, and then it would go according to all of the shitas, or you could have a situation where you have a majority of two, but not according to all of the shitas, only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Bezdin HaGadol was an even number, because according to him, there were 70. So if there's 70, then obviously you could have a majority of two and still have the proper vote in a Bezdin HaGadol. But if you have a Sanhedrin Ketana, it's only going to happen if you added judges. So what does that happen? When a person says, I cannot reach a decision. V'yomer Rabbi Abahu, in cases where we're mosifim, then it turns out that we end up creating a Beis Din Shokol, even lechatchila, because the original judge can't come to a decision. Well, obviously, I know how to count. If one pulled out and you're adding always, the din of mosifin is we always add two, so why did Rabbi Avu have to tell me how to count? That if I removed one and we had 22, not 23, that now we have 24. No, you don't understand. He's telling us a big chiddush. You might have thought that this original judge who said, I don't know, he's still a member of the Beis Din, and it's command to eat a dummy. And in the end, if he would say, gentlemen, I have reached a decision, so then we would listen to him, in which case we do not have a Beis Din that is shokol. Comes along Rabbi Abo to say, no. You have to understand what we are doing is we are creating a Beis Din shokol, because this judge, once he said, eini yodea, he is as if he's no longer part of the Beis Din, and he cannot now come along, because by saying eini yodea, he was not ready to vote for conviction. And once somebody votes that someone is innocent, he can't change the vote to convict. And here too, once he says, I cannot convict, he cannot change his vote to convict. And therefore, he's considered to be commander lete dummy. He's as if he's not part of the Beis Din. And if he says something, we do not listen to him. We no longer can consider him to be part of our court deliberations. And therefore, what I'm telling you is, says Rebbe, the bottom line is, we are essentially openly creating a court of an even number. Even though the chatchila, that's not what we wanted to do. Omer of Kahana, I have another amazing halacha. This is one of the most astonishing halachas. That if a Besdin reaches a unanimous decision, then we do not follow the decision and we dismiss the case. Speaking of the difference between Western morality, because if everybody's thinking the same way, then nobody's thinking. What a wonderful, wonderful halacha. Wow. So Sanhedrin, Shiro, Kulam, Lechova, Potrimato. So we acquit him. My timer. Because, look, if the din is that normally when we have a majority that is going to convict, so what's the din? We are mechuyev to wait till the next day to give people an opportunity to rethink overnight their positions, and that way maybe in the morning they will decide I was wrong and I vote to acquit, right? But in this case, nobody is going to be able to reconsider their opinion because, after all, everybody feels exactly the same way. I haven't heard one word that would even get me thinking in the other direction. So, Vahani to lo chosule, they have no basis for rethinking their decision. And because of that, we simply dismiss the court and dismiss the case. Wow. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, what's we're talking about? Who is Ro'i for Sanhedrin? So, Ein Moshivin b'Sanhedrin, Ela ba'alei koma, u'ba'alei chokma, u'ba'alei mar'eh, u'ba'alei zikna, u'ba'alei kshafim. You have to have tall dayanim, very wise dayanim, people that look very powerful and beautiful, and they have to be older, ba'alei zikna. They have to be ba'alei kshafim, meaning that they have to be able to deal with issues of witchcraft. So they need to know both the dinim of witchcraft, and they need also not to be intimidated by people coming in with kshafim and threatening them and so on. They pay no attention to that. And they need to be yodim b'shivim lashon, shelote sanhedri shoma'at mipi ha-meturgeman. They need to know all of the 70 fundamental languages so that they can understand what the witnesses are saying directly and not hear things through translators. So now there's a machlokas rishonim over here. What exactly is the problem of hearing through a translation? So Rashi learns that if they listen through a translation, then it would be aid mi pi aid, because they don't understand what the witnesses are saying, and therefore they are hearing a witness, that is the translator, who heard the testimony from the witness. And aid me be aid, we'll see later on, is definitely considered to be possible. That's not a dut. And that's the way Rashi understands it. There are other Rishonim, including the Nemuki Yosef, who says that's not the point. The point is that things are lost in translation, and that you cannot ever get the same subtleties of what it is you should be examining and cross-examining if you're hearing it through a translation. And because of that, the din will not be yotzi yofa if they're not able to directly discuss things with the witnesses. Yes, Hagayin Reb Barnea, how can I help you?
I was listening to the Damanu case, and someone testified in Yiddish. And then they translated into Hebrew and English. I said, that's not what he said. And the judges said, we understand Yiddish. That's not what he said.
Wow. Rabbanea, you're not the only one who raised his hand. I mean, yes, we are calling. I mean, if he can speak, or do we need an interpreter? Will the lion please interpret? I'm trying to respond to the raised hand. What is your son saying? Yes, I don't understand his taina.
He was just saying that it's Yossi ben Arza was the Yossi ben.
Yes, that's right. That's a relative. Right?
His cousin.
Yes, his cousin, exactly. Yes. I was going to say that. That's the second time I messed up on the relatives. I don't know what it is. I apologize.
He gets upset.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yes, thank you. Yeah, so it was Ben Arza who said that nice pshat. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, so we say that we need to know Shivim Lashenes in order not to hear testimony through interpretation. Om Rav Yudom Rav, Ein Bo Shivim Esadrindrin, Elamish Yodela Taheret Asheretz Minat Torah. We can only make him a member of Sanhedrin if he can show that the Torah is Matir Asheretz. Om Rav, I'll give you an example. I'll make a limud whereby we should allow a sheretz not to be tameh. Because consider, a rattlesnake, now it manages to cause a lot of tumah in the world because it runs around killing various mammals, and these are nevelas or even humans that are metameh b'meis, and nonetheless, the Torah does not consider a nachash to be tameh. Even though it is so deeply connected to Tuma that it brings Tuma in the world. So Kol Shekein, other Shratzim, She'enu Meimit Umar Betuma, Eno Din She'ei Tahor, obviously it ought to be Tahor. Says the Gemara, that's not a good Raya. Valori. Look, and what about if you've got a coats, you know, and somebody gets hit in the jugular, he gets hit by this big thick thorn on a bush that he's walking through and he dies. You're going to suggest that a bush should become tummy? It has nothing to do with causing tumah, and therefore, the same way that a coats isn't tummy, so too the nachash would be no reason why it would follow that it's part of a logical argument of a kal vachomer. The causing of death is not in any way related to the dinim of tumah v'tayra. Now, Tosfos asks over here, this is a very big sugya in terms of its theoretical implications, but Tosfos asks, why are we interested in sophistry? If we know that there's no such thing as being Matayar Asheret, so why would we want people to deal with arguments that is just playing games? I mean, this is supposed to be learning how to be able to paskin halacha, so why are you playing games? Now, Tosis goes through a very complex analysis of what situation we're talking about that it would actually make an afkamina lahalacha about whether something became tamei through a sheretz. But Lemaisa, it's interesting that other Rishonim, and certainly many of the later Balei Kabbalah or the people who like to present, you know, like Reb Tzedek HaKohen or the Yaris Dvash, they have these very interesting pshotim based on the Sefer HaYetzira, that the truth is that all variations are meant to occur within the multiverse. And that if somebody there's actually Reish Lamed Gimel variations that are supposed to be alternative universes in which the logic would end up with completely different outcomes. And there's no such thing as something that is pure sophistry. And therefore, to be able to understand how it would be that something could exist in an alternative universe is itself meaningful, because ultimately, when a Beis Din requires something to be done, which is a rasha, and it's completely against the Torah, heferu terasecha, then you need to understand that there are ways in which things are meant to have a place in the nature of things, and that it's not as if it's complete hafaras hatera. And in order to be able to appreciate what those things are, you need to be able to be betayar asheret. The Aras Dvash takes it another, one additional step, which we saw once, where we were, forgot where we were talking about. I think it was from the Resisei Laila. We saw the same idea, that to jump to a conclusion about something that you see and is definitely usher, you need to understand that everything has its place. And there's no such thing as something that you have a right to determine. It's always determining it in its current situation. And that ultimately, that would mean that the things that appear to be absolutely clear should not be taken as absolutely clear, because it's always within a particular context, even if that appears to be the only reality you're aware of. Anyway, we spoke about this. I can't remember where it was. All right, I don't want to take up your time. Hopefully it'll come back to me.
The Rebbe also talks about Rebbe Zeda, about the Rosh Hashiva.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that's true. my grandfather Zatzal. I was very, very much the way that he appreciated Limud HaTorah. He would never say that something that a person said was wrong. And when it bothered me, he would always say, well, it's wonderful, Svara, beautiful. But it's completely against all Sugya. How could you tell him something like that? He would say to me, it's true, it doesn't apply here. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good Svara and that it might not be true somewhere. He used to drive me crazy as a kid, but I understand it now. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, kol ir she'ein ba shnayim ledaber ve'echad lishmoa, ein meshiva ba Sanhedrin. You cannot appoint a Sanhedrin if you don't have in the town two people who can speak the Shivim L'shaynes and one who at least can understand. And in Beitar, there actually were three people who were knowledgeable in speaking, not just understanding, all Shivim L'shaynes. And in Barnea's neighborhood, in Meyavne, there were four such people. There were Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Akiva, and then there was Shimon HaTimni. He wasn't really a member of the Sanhedrin, but because he was too young at that time, so he didn't get smicha, but he was Dan Lifnei Bekarka. He would be sitting on the ground and would be saying over Sforas to them and so on. Meisve. The Brisa says if you have a Besdin that has Shlishit, meaning it's got triple judges that can speak Shivim L'shenes, that's considered to be a Chachoma. So that's sufficiently, we said that you need to have Chachomim. That's a minimal Besdin that is Chachoma. Revi'it, if they've got four people like that, that's amazing. Ein l'malei emena, because then you'll always have a quorum of people who can understand directly what the witnesses are saying. But Rav said you only need two to speak and one to understand. Here it says three is minimal Chachoma. True, but it's a machlokas tanoim. And Rav was going according to the following Tana. Hu d'yomer ki haitana d'tanya. Shniya chachama. Two members who can actually speak all Shivim L'shenes is a minimally chachama, meaning that these are wise men, it's wise besdin, and it is usable. And if there's three who can speak, there we say, you can't get better than that. Remember, we just talked about Shimon HaTimni, and he was Dan Lifneihem. He was sitting on the floor in front of the Besdin, and he wasn't a member of the Besdin. So once we raised that language, we want to point out that throughout the Shas, there's certain ways that we refer to certain Chachomim, and you need to know what the Kolol Amar to know who we're referring to. So when we say L'meidim Lifnei Chachomim, that is the way that we refer to Levi. Levi used to sit in front of Rebbe and learn with Rebbe, and those are the ones who sit and learn and think things out in front of Chachamim. When we use the word, quote, danim, lifnei Chachamim, so they would deal with the issues in front of Chachamim, that's a reference to Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma, Hanan HaMitzri, and Hanana ben Chachinoi, and those were the ones that we call the Danim Lifnei Chachamim. But Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, you're missing one of them. There was also Shimon HaTimni, and he was considered to be one of those who were Danim Lifnei Chachamim. So you have to add, there's three Shimons. There's Shimon, Shimon, and Shimon. So that's Shimon ben Azai, Shimon HaTimni, and Shimon ben Zoma. And then there's Hanan v'Chananya. So that's an easy way to remember that we've got five. Three Shimons, two Hanans. Rabotenu Shebabavel is a way that we refer to Rav and to Shmuel. Rabotenu Sheberet Yisrael is a reference to Rebbe Abba. The Dayanei Gola is a reference to Karna. You'll remember that the Rashbam throughout Baba Basra always said Karna v'Shmuel, but our Girsa only has Dayanei Gola is a reference to Karna. The Dayanei Beveret Yisrael is a standard way of referring to Rabami and Rabasi. The Dayanim of Pumpadisa is the way we refer to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. The Dayanim of Naharda is the way that we refer to Rav Ada Bar Minyomi. The Sabe de Sura, the older Dayanim of Sura, is a reference to Rav Huna and Rav Chista. The Sabe de Pumpadisa is a reference to Rav Yehuda and Rav Ina. The Harife de Pumpadisa, the very brilliant ones. In Pumbedita, there's a reference to Epha and Avimi, both of whom were sons of Rechava. The, quote, Amoroyim of Pumbedita is a reference to Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. The, quote, Amoroyim in Arda is a reference to Rav Chama. When we say Nahar Bloy Masnu, we're referring to Rami Bar Barabi. When we say Amre Bei Rav, they said in the Beis Hamidrash of Rav, that's a reference to Rav Huna. Wait a minute, how could it be a reference to Rav Huna? Rav Huna is quoted as quoting the Amre Bei Rav. Om Rav Huna, Amre Bei Rav. Now, how is he quoting himself? So it can't be that. Elo Rav Hamnuna. When it's Rav Huna that's saying it, it's a reference to Rav Hamnuna. Amri B'Maharova, who's that? They say in Eretz Yisrael, in the West. That's a reference to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Sholchu Mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. That's a reference to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Mechaku Ala B'Maharova, they laughed at this when they heard about it in Eretz Yisrael. That's a reference to Rabbi Elazar. But this also doesn't make sense because we find a Sholchu Mitam. And the words of the Sholchu Mitam message was, quote, L'divre Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, and you're claiming that the Sholchu Mitam is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Oh, bad. Okay, so it must be the last two we got confused. Flip it. Actually, Sholchu Mitam is Rabbi Elazar, and the Mechaku Ala B'Maharova is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Now, getting to the dinim of which cities are Zoche to have a Sanhedrin, Kitana of a membership of 23. You need to have a minimal population of 120 people. Where do you get that from? Why do we need 120 people in order to have a Sanhedrin Kitana? Well, figure you need 23 Dayanim, right? Okay. Plus, besides the 23 Dayanim, which is the Sanhedrin Kitana, now there are some who learn that when it says Esri Mishloshe Kineget Sanhedrin Ketana, it means that the Sanhedrin Ketana is besides the 120. And you need 23 in town to be able to replace Dayanim on the Sanhedrin Ketana. So if something happens, let's say they die or whatever, then you need to have a replacement for that Sanhedrin. Okay, some learn that way. The Poshita meaning, according to most of the Rishonim, is that the 23 that we're referring to here is the Sanhedrin Ketana. So they live in the town. So that means you're going to need to have a population of at least 23, which are those 23 Dayanim. And then remember that we always have three rows of Talmidim in front of them, which are also the same size as that Sanhedrin. So we have three rows of another 23, which brings us up to 92, Anitishim Etarte. Then you always need in a town, Asarab Batlanim Shobet HaKnesset. The town supports 10 people to be in the Bet HaKnesset all day and to be sitting and learning and teaching and to be available for a minyan, whenever a minyan is required, because remember, it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into a Beit Knesset, and Eino Motzi Shama Sora Miat Koes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochu gets angry if there's not ten people that are inside of the Beit HaKnesset. So a Beit HaKnesset in town means 10 people in the Beit HaKnesset. So that brings us to 102. Now, you need two people who are the secretaries taking down the statements of the litigation. So there are two sofrim, and there are two chazanim. Those are the shotrim that are going to be serving the subpoenas and giving makas when necessary and so on. And then you've got the apparatus for din. Now, the thing is, you can't have a din unless you have two people who are fighting, so you need two people who are fighting in the population. So that means there's got to be at least two people to come to court, otherwise what do we make the court for? So we've got Shnei Balei Dinim, bus, we need two witnesses. But two witnesses are not kosher witnesses unless there's two other people who can make them Edim Zomimim. So we need two people that they're scared of that are going to come and say, you didn't see that because you were with us in the movie theater at that time. And then those two witnesses are not going to be usable witnesses because they don't have anybody to be afraid of unless there's another two witnesses that can make them into Zomimim. So therefore, we need Shnei Zomimei Zomimim. Altogether, that brings us to 114. Now, where do we get 120? Well, there's another issue. The other issue is that besides what's necessary for the apparatus of justice and so on, you also need to have a functional city. And a functional city includes 10 things that we are about to explain. Kol ir she'im ba asara dvarim halalo, any city that doesn't have the following 10 requirements, it is usher to live in a city like that, and ein tamid chacham rashai ladur betocha. So you need to have that. We said you need to have a bezdin that is marking lunch, and there needs to be a justice system. There needs to be a kupa shel tzedakah. A kupa shel tzedakah means that you've got two people that are going to be collecting tzedakah. We always have a minimum of two people collecting, but you need to have three people that are distributing, because we don't trust the two people. We need to have what's the equivalent of a bezdin to be able to make determinations where this money goes. So it's nigbeis bishnayim, and it's mitchaleket bishlosha. So we've got the same din as a bezdin. Fine, okay. But besides that, we also are going to need professionals. This can't be handled by the people that otherwise we were talking about. So we've got, besides that, we have, as we said, the Beit HaKnesset. If it doesn't have a Beit HaKnesset, Talmud Chochem can't live there. It has to have a Beit Merchatz. It has to have a place where there is a possibility of getting a shower. You can't live in a place where there's not clean water that's available. So you need a Beit Merchatz. You need a Beit Kisei. You need to have some level of sanitation, and not that people are meant to just go out and relieve themselves in the fields. You have to have a doctor. You cannot live in a place that has no medical facilities. And you have to have an oman. Now, most understand the rofe and the oman. I mean, these are obviously could be the same person. The oman, remember in those days, was someone who was able to let blood. So it's more like a nurse. The rofe would be necessary for brit mila and so on. You have to have a lavlar. There's got to be somebody that knows how to write a contract. There's got to be a teacher for children. You can't live in a city where there's no education. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru, you also must have a store that is going to make fruit available for people. If you don't have any fruit, you end up with scurvy. And af mine pera, so there's got to be a way to buy fruit. Mipesh mine pera me'irim et ha'inayim. You are going to be able to be alive and well if you get yourself a little bit of fruit. And memela, that is also required. Okay, so that gives us 120, because we need somebody to be as the doctor and the bloodletter and the uman and the teacher, and then we need the people that are going to be able to collect. So if you add it all up, you see that we've got these another six people to be doing that work. Rabbi Nechemia says that you need, double that. 230, we said. That's crazy. Where do we get 230? That was already, we had that all the way back at the beginning of the Sechet. Where do we get 230? Tanya, Rabbi Omer, you need 277. Sheesh. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Matayim Shevim Vishmona. But there was another price that says, Rabbi said you need 278. Yes. Obviously, the question over here, if you hold like Rabbi Nechemia, so then we have essentially Sore Asarot. So in order for each person in the Sanhedrin to be the minimal level of being at least a Sar of Asara, so then that means that you've got to have 10 people that he's a Sar over. That gives you 230. And that out of 230, you get 23 people that would be Sarei Asarot. That would be the svara that we spoke about earlier in Rebbe Nechemia. But Rebbe Tainas, that if you've got a case where you have to be Mosif Dayanim, so then we're going to keep being Mosif Dayanim, but we can only keep being Mosif until we end up with a majority. The maximum that you can add is 47, because 47 plus the given 23 already equals 70. You can't have more than a Beis Din HaGadol. But if you hold that Beis Din HaGadol is 71, like the Chachamim, then that gives you Matayim Shivim Vishmona. So therefore, there's no contradiction. In the first bright, the Rebbe was saying, Alibet Rebbe Yehuda, you need 277. In order to add to the Sari Asarot of Rebbe Nechemia, you need to add the Hosafas HaDayanim up to another 47 people. If you hold that there's 71, and you can add 48 people. So that would explain the two different mishnayos. Tana Rabbanan, if you take a look at the total number of dayanim that were in Klal Yisrael, in the Midbar, imagine what we're talking about. V'samta aleihem, sarei alafim, sarei me'od, sarei chamishim, v'sarei atzarot. So how many of these people are there? Well, if there are 600,000 people, then the Sarei Alafim were 600. The Sarei Me'od would be 6,000. The Sarei Chamishim would be 12,000. The Sarei Asarot would be 60,000. Sheshet Ribu. Add them all up, and what do you get? The total number of Dayanei Yisrael turns out to be 78,600 Dayanim. Now, of course, this doesn't make very much sense, because if you take off the first 600, so then you no longer have 600,000 that are left. And you say you still have 6,000 Sarei Me'ot. And if you take off them, the 6,000, so then you should only have 11,000 Sarei Chamishim, et cetera, et cetera. You understand the problem. So the simplest explanation of what the Gemara is assuming is that only the lowest level Dayanim were young enough to be included in the population itself, so that they were among those who were counted between the ages of 20 and 60. But the Dayanim of the higher Sanhedrin, and they were the ones that were the Sarei Alafim and so on, those were older people, and they were above the age of 60 at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we don't include them in the total population. Memela would turn out that this would be the total numbers of Dayanim, but they're not taken out of the total population. Hadran Aloch, Dine Momenus, do we have a Richie ready over here? What's doing? There we go. Dine Momenus Bishloisha. Wow. Well, you could still do one line. Come on, give us a funk time. Kohen Gadol, Dan Vedanimoto. When it comes to a Kohen Gadol, he can be a judge on a Beis Din, and he can be judged by a Beis Din, and so on, to be explored, Bezrat Hashem.